Good evening. Good evening.
Hey, Apostle.
How are you?
All right, this is Nicobe.
Hey there, Kobe.
Hey,
how's
I'm
everything
always
going?
The first one on here, but I normally just hang up. This time I just stayed.
Oh,
It's
did you?
going okay. Yeah, it's going
Okay.
okay. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I can't
Did
really
you,
complain after the talk that we had Monday. You really gave me some enlightening, like, because I felt like I was going down the same path with what I was telling you about, or whatever, with that friend I was telling you about. So I talked to him, whatever, and I prayed about it. And then I feel like God showed me, yeah, that don't go that route right now. So, but you remember what you said about getting bitcoins and stuff like that? So,
investing, you mean?
Yes. So I had did that with $100, and now they asking for $300. And my friend was telling me, go ahead.
What did you do? You said you went and did it. There's so many different ways to go do that. What did you do?
Okay, I was going to show you on Saturday at practice, but it's Money Pit. Where's my other phone?
That's.
Huh?
You said that's
You
the
heard
name
of
of
Money?
the app that you went through?
Yes.
Okay.
And I put $100 in my wallet to register, and then it's saying like $300 to activate or something like that. And I'm just trying to see, is this a scam or something? Or
yeah, no, take your money back out. Just transfer your money back out. Yeah, transfer it back out. No, if you're going to do crypto, you want to go to Coinbase. That's
Coinbase.
The originator. Yeah, Coinbase, Coinbase, Coinbase.com. And you go there, and the first thing you should do before you start investing anything is you need to study some things.
Okay.
Right?
Because
you want to learn first. You want to try to understand the system. You want to understand the platform. And you want to get a little bit of knowledge on what these different products do. So
okay.
That you can feel comfortable about what it is that you're buying into. Like anything else in the world, all crypto is not equal. There's no difference.
Okay.
If you went out and bought
you want the keys?
Nissan.
Okay.
Hey, Lati, God bless you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. God bless you guys too.
Good.
Yes,
say it again.
Huh?
Yeah, I didn't hear you, Lati. I heard you said you're doing good, and then I didn't hear the rest.
Oh, I was just letting you explain to her about the cryptocurrency and stuff, so I was just listening in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. So Coinbase.com is the original platform that crypto went into. It is like the NASDAQ for crypto. It's like the Dow, right? So that's the place where everybody placed these products, and then all these other companies like Robinhood and so forth and so on, they're just vendors that are trying to sell the product through their system so that they make money for selling what you can buy direct.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Right. So
yes.
so you want to go to the source because there's going to be a learning, there's going to be an element of learning on Coinbase that's not going to be in Robinhood. Robinhood and things like that, those organizations are for people who have some knowledge about what they're doing. And so you know what you're buying, you know what you want to have investment in and so forth and so on. But the first thing you got to do is learn what these investments are. Do you know what crypto actually is?
No.
Yeah, so crypto is probably 97% of it is not even an actual physical, tangible item. What they are is they have these humongous computer banks, right? And these computer banks produce mathematical equations, and the mathematical equations are used to solve scientific problems. And so it's just a there are a lot of different huge computer networks out there, and those are the places that are creating crypto. Right? Okay. And so they're really huge, you know, like if you saw, God bless you, Sister Moreau. If you've ever seen one of those movies where you see the CIA and it's about 500 computers in one room.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what a cryptocurrency company looks like. And so the equivalent of it is if you went to the grocery store and you went in and you bought two cases of soda, the two cases of soda sit on the shelf. When you go to the counter, they ring you up a receipt. They give you the receipt for the two cases of soda, right? That you purchase when you hand them the money. So crypto is like the receipt. It's not the soda. The soda is on the system. The receipt is the coin. Get
okay.
it?
Okay. Yeah.
And so the receipt and the two cases of pop are two coins, and they're worth so much. And so if pop goes up, then the receipt grows with the pop. You get it? So
yes.
So the receipt is saying you have those two cases. So if a case of soda is selling for $2, your receipt says you've got two cases, so it's worth $4. However, if through what that company does, soda goes up to $10 a case, your receipt goes up, and you can take the receipt back, which is how you exchange it, and you go back and say, okay, give me the money, keep the pop, let it stay on the shelf. Here's the receipt. The receipt says it's now worth $40 because it was at $2 when I bought it, and now it's up to $20 a case, so you owe me $40.
Okay.
That's the basic understanding of crypto.
Okay, I got you.
Right?
Yes.
So, good evening, everybody. I've got Sister Hawanda, praise the Lord. We've got Sister Marone, praise the Lord.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Amen. So let's go around the room and find out how weeks are doing and what God is doing in your life. Let's start with Brother Latif. Brother Latif, how are you? How's everything going?
It's going good. Just my daughter was born a few days ago, so.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate
congratulations.
It. Thank you. And I don't know, just I'm kind of at the spot where, you know, I feel like the Lord knows that I'm just like always very attentive to my surroundings and, you know, seeing my daughter being born because, you know, I have a son also. But I wasn't really like, it was my first time going through, giving birth. So I was kind of like trying to figure it out. Didn't really get it or the process. But, you know, this one, you know, I actually, you know, got up, you know, close and I didn't really have a thing about it or like a thought where I was just like, oh man, I don't want to see nothing like that. It was more of just like, I don't know. I'm just the lady that gave birth told me to come up and I was like, okay. And, you know, seeing my daughter born and stuff like that, it shows you the design. And the design is so intricate and perfectly placed. How, you know, I even saw the placenta, you know, and just seeing that up, you know, close and seeing how a baby breathes in, you know, amniotic fluid and is encased in his amniotic sac. And just, you know, seeing like, you know, this child come out of this, you know, area, you know, without bones breaking, just, you know, he just set us up in that, you know, like just seeing the design of the human body and how we, you know, give birth. And so just seeing that, you know, just, you know, seeing what, you know, women go through and, you know, where I came from, where we all came from and, you know, how God designed us and all the other stuff. It was just. It's a constant reminder, you know, that there is an intelligent creator You know, I mean, you can look at that just looking outside and seeing everything, but it's like a constant reminder when I see stuff like that. It's like, you know, we were created. You know, this wasn't, you know, no, you know, silly evolution. This wasn't nothing that happened over a trillion years or whatever, how long they say the Earth is, you know, supposedly how old it is. And it wasn't none of that. It was, you know, clearly, you know, we were designed. So just seeing that and just, you know, witnessing, you know, that for the first time. And it's like a feeling that, you know, you can't really explain. You kind of have to like go through it, you know, and it's something that, you know, sticks, you know, to you. And it just makes you really think and makes you understand, you know, everything around you. It makes you more, you know, aware of your surroundings and stuff like that. So seeing that, you know, just remind me of the Lord. You know, I prayed over the delivery room, you know, I anointed it, you know, things like that, you know, make sure, because my wife had complications with my son hemorrhaging. So this time the baby, there was no problems after that. She came. It was good. It was easy. Everything was fine. And yeah. And then just,
hallelujah.
Just a lot of just, you know, paying attention to my surroundings and learning more and kind of going from there. So,
Yeah, and what else did you get from all that? Because so you based on what you're saying, you saw intelligent design. You said you saw, you know, you also noticed what women go through to get us here.
Yes.
Right. You saw the attentiveness of the doctors and the nurses in the delivery room. With care and concern for your child, whom is special to you, but they don't know you. But they seem to have a certain special mentality and a calling for some. Most of them do have a calling for that specific thing. And they seem to be able to love your child almost as much as you do. Did you notice that?
I did see that, you know, the care and concern. But, you know, I it's very interesting you brought that up, because, again, I'm just kind of going through life because, you know, these are a lot of things that, you know, a lot of men don't care to experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do, you know, and it was a few nights ago. I didn't really understand what came over me, but when I got done feeding my daughter, I kind of, you know, threw her, you know, not threw her, but put her over my shoulder to burp her.
Mm-hmm.
And for some odd reason, like, I don't know what came over me, but I just, like, kind of start crying, and I didn't really understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you, Sister Tara. Thank you for joining. We're just kind of going through the room and finding out how everybody's week was, and Latif was sharing with us, Brother Wilson was sharing how Brother Jadu now was sharing with us. He just had a baby born into the world, a daughter, and
okay,
he was actually
right,
in the room.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And he was actually in the room. I want to go back to one more thing before I go to the next person, if I may. The next thing I want to go to is the part about you saw what a woman goes through to get us here.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's really very, very big. I think it's part of the reason why there's this natural connection between children and mother. But yes. There also something happens to men as they grow up. And that natural connection between a male child and mother shifts somewhere, because when that male child has a significant other, that same understanding seems to not be as engaged. And I say that because if we understood, one, that God called the woman to be a co-creator with him, because that's big in itself. I mean, he called us to be co-creators. I mean, we ain't had nan child. The only one that had one was Adam, because Eve was brought from his womb. That's why she's called womb man, woman. That's where that word comes from in the Greek, womb man. So she was the first born from a human being's physical body, which was Eve. But after that, God rescinded that and put everything on the eaves of the world. And so, and I say that because Mother's Day is coming, and we ought to be able, I hope for the men on this line, that we come to a place of learning to appreciate the women in our lives differently.
Yes.
Right? I mean, really to understand that that pain and that suffrage, I'm going to call it suffrage, that suffrage that they go through to bring babies on the earth sometimes becomes almost a lifestyle of pain and suffrage, trying to get other people to be born into something that makes some sense. Because mothers are also lovers. And as mothers, they're always sharing their love in a way that that's trying to say, I've got enough love to get you through something and bring out the better part of you. And more often than not, most men never see it. They can see it in mama, but they can't see it in big mama, the one that they connect up with. So pay attention to that, because that's an important thing that God allows us to see. And you'll have a different respect and appreciation in a way that even if you don't get along with the person, you'll still have so much respect and honor for them. You wouldn't dare put your mouth on them. Because you understand that their whole life has been about birthing something or trying to. Did that make sense to anybody? I hope and pray it did.
Yes, sir.
So going around the room, Sister Tara, how's your week going?
It's been going great. It's been going great. My relationship with God is getting even better. Just like last week, I went to the grocery store and Anthony, my husband, gave me $10. I knew it was 10 when I got there, at least I thought it was. And when I left out the store, I had more change than I should have. And I asked him, did he give me a 20 or a 10? And the young lady, she gave me back extra change. So when he said he gave me a 10, I came home, I told him about it. I said, this girl gave me a little bit more change. And what I did the next day, because it kept bothering me, that
Hallelujah.
I did not want that girl registered to come up short.
Hallelujah.
So the next day, I went back to the state.
Yes.
And I asked them, did they know the little girl who was serving me? And they said, yeah. I said, well, she gave me an extra $10. And she said, oh, that's okay. I said, no. I wanted to tell you all that because I did not want her cash register to come up short.
Mm.
And that stayed on me all that night for some reason. And I had to do it.
Conviction right there. Yes. Hallelujah.
And the old Tara wouldn't have done that.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's enough to make
my eyes. God, yes, God is good.
Yeah, and he's glorious. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Yeah. See, and Tara, thank you for that. And Lati, thank you for your witness as well, because what you're seeing is what, and it's interesting, we were talking about a child's birth, because in all reality, what he's doing is birthing some new children up around here. Mm-hmm. And I'm praising God for it, because the Bible says, lest you come to me as a little child, you shall not see the kingdom. And how you know that the new child is forming is just like what you said, Tara. You went home and you couldn't live with that circumstance, because he kept talking to, what about the girl? What happens if they think she stole it? What happens if this, her job could be gone? I got to take this back. And that is God giving evidence. And I want everybody to hear it. Here's what your Bible says. And his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's him bearing witness in your spirit that you now his baby. Hey, we don't do it this way no more. That's his
praise God, yes.
Right.
And then when you go back to what Lati was saying, he was talking about how just seeing the baby born let him know, just reconfirmed in him that there was divine creation. It's not an accident. This is not, you know, this is not just life doing what life does. There's an intelligent being that's creating what he's creating. And so a lot of people need that type of convincing. You know, is the sun over here? Is that God doing this? But when something like that happens, like what happened with Terra, you don't need any more proof because you know this. I wouldn't have done that.
Yes.
Way, I'm keeping that. What? As bad as I could use some extra money. And I turned around and gave it back. I don't need no other proof that there's a God. That tells me there's a God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go around the room. Sister Marone, how was your week?
Yes, sir. My week is amazing, even though we have this tornado storm warning and everything. But I feel like God did in my life this year, this week, is me and my husband have different point of view, for example, I want to give home childbirth, but my husband wants hospital and everything. So the way we think is different. So I let it go to God. We have this conversation earlier this year. So I let it go, and you're the leader of this family. You know, I will respect whatever you choose for us and everything. But thanks so much for listening to me, or like what I want, everything. So out of nowhere today, this morning, he's like, you know what? I think it'll be special if we have home childbirth. So I'm I know. I was just awe about it, because I wasn't trying to force him. I wasn't trying to manipulate him. I wasn't trying to be a nagging wife or like my way or no way. So I was respecting God, and I was respecting him as a man, saying like, hey, whatever you think in the family, I will go with you. I even started the process at UWMS and everything. So yeah, so out of nowhere today, he mentioned that to me, and I almost cried, because only God can do this. Only God can change, you know, only God can think that choice, thinking it's best, because, you know, God always see your heart and how you treat others, and you really following his will. So that's my like, I see God in today.
Your testimony, glory to God.
Testimony, amen.
Yeah, we need to change this from Bible study to Powerful Wednesday. That's amazing. Glory to God. And that's good, because I think it helps the other brothers and sisters to realize I don't always have to get it to go my way. I just have to trust God for the way he wants it to go, because he stepped in and changed the mind without you ever saying a word. You didn't go, I'm not doing that. You didn't push back. You didn't clap back. You just sat back and said, I'm going to be what the Bible tells me to be, which is, to love my husband and let him kind of be the head of the house when it comes down to a final decision. Not that you don't have a decision-making capability, but the final decision you left to him. And he ended up on the right decision that God wanted. That's true glory.
Amen.
I don't know how many people are here. If this is Bible study, it's almost over. We don't even have to do any more other than this. Woo! This is glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Dewan, how was your week?
Very blessed and fulfilling. Yes. Very, very good. Pastor, yeah. Might have been my another client to go to my program and stuff. And I was telling like it'll be all right. It's gonna be all right, it's gonna be all right, man. His name is Scott Wilcox. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be all right. Cause he in the wheelchair also, he throwing out words and stuff that don't make sense, and can hear it and stuff like. But I'm still telling him it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. So you spent your week encouraging other folks and letting them know it's just gonna be all right. Just hang in there and keep trusting God.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Did I miss anyone? Who did I miss? Hawanda, Sister Hawanda.
Yes, sir.
I've
been blessed, really blessed and highly favored. You know, like you say. But this one young lady, I ended up bumping into her Saturday, and she's a a different religion, and however, mm-hmm. you know how just acknowledge y'all, like, and you just know that you're supposed to be at, you know, I wanted to just show up for my friend Benta because she was hosting the event. It was at the Urban League. It was Women's Day, but a lot mm-hmm. of the so it was did by like the leaders of the event, you know, they from Africa, so a lot of African people show up to host the event. And one young lady, she knew me from my previous marriage. And she's actually going through some heavy things. And, you know, as Benta was hosting, she didn't really get to, she was just like, thank you for your presence. We didn't get to talk much, but not realizing when you acknowledge God and all your ways, he'll direct your path, that it wasn't, I was there to support her, but he had me there for this other young lady that ended up encountering. You know, I only went to her house one time and kind of forgot, but she had sat next to me and I didn't know what was gonna happen. I had my grandson too, so that was, he was a real busybody, you know. We sat and we began to talk, you know, and she just wanted to share, but Spirit allowed me to share some things that, you know, she haven't shared with people, you know, and just for, you know, him to be a witness and let her know that she is seen, you know, regardless of what she's going through, and she's heard, and regardless of the, you know, the religion, because she's a Muslim. She was married to a Muslim. However, like, when I married a Muslim, I never converted. But I've been Amen. Able to have that time with her to, and she's actually just reiterating, like, hey, I take your words as, you know, she's saying my words hold weight, and I'm just letting her know and confirming back to her, it's not my, I'm just a willing vessel, and, you know, with, you know, the spirit of discernment or whatever, just saying I don't take no credit for it. It allowed me to know that was connected to her life, but she was there, broke down in tears, because it was really about her family. She had to talk, you know, Holy Spirit had me to bring up that you've been separated from your family, and she just teared up like, I haven't seen my family in 5 years. And she just asked, can she get my number? We had connected on social media at first. And then, but I had told her, you know, a lot of people, when they go through traumatic stuff, they feel like, hey, let me go, you know, I'm outside now, you know, and you know what that means, that they're going to go find themselves in the things of the world. And I was just reminding her, you know, that that's going to take you far away from you. That's not going to be the fix that you need, you know, that's not going to boy. And I'm grateful that she was able to listen, that she had an ear to hear, really. That's really what she said, you know, that's what held weight, you know. And she said, I hold dear to what you said, the words that you gave me. And she was just speaking about my presence and how she felt peace just being in my presence. And it was a whole thing else on there, and I just reminded her, hey, I'm just a willing vessel, and, you know, just having that connection. And I, you know, had a conversation with her today to just continue to encourage her, you know, not forcing my religion on her, but just showing up as a, you know, as a sister, and allowing her to see my life, you know. And that's what's continuing to draw her. So, and then also my daughter, she works with clients, and she was, you know, you realize the fruit of your labor and how I raised them up in church and everything. And I even remember when I lost my mind, how my kids was able to help me and bring the word back to me and faith. And also, so my daughter, she ended up sharing some things with me that she had started sharing with her client, because I told her that, you know, I know that this is work, but you placed them in positions like this for a reason. So she started ministering. And it was her first time actually doing it. And she's able to connect with the lady's daughter that's 11. But, you know, they white. But her little daughter, they cuss at each other. The little daughter is able to cuss. So they able to listen to her almost reiterating. And it's some of the same stuff that I was, you know, just talking to the kids about in JRC. And I was just like over filled with joy, like, wow, you know,
just watching her be bold to walk in her calling if she haven't done it like that. And you know, and because it's in her. It's entering. I give Yah all the glory for that.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you all, but I want to give God a hand clap praise that he's an awesome God. My goodness. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Father, thank you. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. You did not leave us, nor have you forsaken us. It may not look like it's going right, but you always show up right on time, and something shifts the atmosphere when you're around. It just changes, glory to God. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Ooh, my God. Oh, glory. We're supposed to be in the book of Ephesians. I'm sorry, the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter today.
Yeah.
But we also have Sister Tara who came back to Bible study tonight, and she had a actual homework assignment, and we don't want to miss out on that. Sister Tara, remember it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
I
think I know what it was. I think you had gentleness.
Yes, gentle.
Uh-huh. Okay, is Tony with you too?
Yes, he's right here.
Woo. Uh-huh, Tony, I think you had long suffering.
I sure wrote it down and just in case you stopped.
Yep, you got to cover the pastor's back because he's a busy guy and he's an older guy. So praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we've got some obedient women of God around us because they know how to protect and they know how to serve. Glory to God. So Terry, you want to start us off? But before you do, I am going to pick, as the Spirit leads, I am going to ask Brother Lachie to open us up in prayer tonight because you got a lot to be thankful for, sir.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Right. Heavenly Father.
Hold on
1 minute. Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Somebody said hold on for 1 minute.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, gentle, it was described as being mild. Kind.
Stay right there. We're getting ready to open up in prayer. Yes, ma'am. We're going to open up in prayer first, then we're going to go to your explanation on gentleness. Go ahead, Lati.
Okay.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you.
We thank you for this day with all of us gathering together. Showing and telling each other our testimonies, Heavenly Father. We thank you for all the miracles and wonders that you have been showing us.
Mm-hmm.
And showing us the truth of everything that is around us, Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of us inside this chat. Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our minds and our hearts to receive what we're supposed to receive today, Lord, and that it gives us the revelations that we need. Heavenly Father, I pray that you cover everyone inside this chat from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, God.
And to wash us from the wickedness of everything that is around us to renew our minds so that we can move forward, Heavenly Father, and be on guard and aware.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for another day. I thank you for another chance. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we glorify you in your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, Sister Noble, are you ready?
Yes. Okay. I had the word gentle, which is described as mild, kind, tender, or calm nature, often referring to the actions that are not harsh, rough, or severe. It characterizes people's actions or things that are soft, considerate, and easily handled. So when it says considerate, I thought of what I just told you all about when I went back to pick and save.
Yeah.
If that's considerate, I was very
yes, ma'am.
Gentle. And then another thing, I noticed, like, when you turn your life, when you get your relationship with God, it brings a peace. And within that peace, I feel like that is gentle as well. So that word gentle, it can be described as being humble, soft, just like the word gentle is.
Mm-hmm.
Just seem like anything concerning God and peace just goes a long ways.
Can you share with us, Sister Noble, when you say gentleness goes a long way, what do you see when you say that? What makes you say it that way?
As my way, like my walk with God right now, it involves about gentle ways within myself. I'm trying my best not to get mad anymore. I'm going to get mad, but I don't want to be just mad. I don't want to go off my emotions. I'm trying my best to work with this. And if I'm trying to be right with God, that's what I mean as gentle goes a long ways. Because when you want your life right with Him, this is what you have to do. And if you want to be at peace with yourself, gentle goes a long ways. And that's my definition of what I'm looking at going forward. Just being gentle, not being hard on myself, not being hard on others. Just
Amen.
Being gentle. Yes.
Glory to God. Beautifully said, beautifully executed, and thank you for doing the homework. You did your homework. Praise the Lord. And then God used you in the thing that He gave you, because He sent you into a circumstance where gentleness was necessary. Because you could have went in there yelling and screaming. Somebody gave me, these people are so stupid. How could they do that? Anybody get it?
Yes.
You could have went in there saying, this store is terrible. Look at that. Why are you hiring all these incompetent people? She needs to be in the back picking up boxes, not taking people's money. What if she'd have stole $10 rather than gave $10?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so you got a firsthand lesson. Praise the God. Praise the Lord. And glory to God. So Brother Irby, you ready, sir?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Mine was long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But the definition I have here, wait a minute. And I thought I had it here. Just a second, man. Oh yeah. Okay, it says long suffering is adjective used to describe someone who is patiently enduring lasting offensive hardships or difficulties without complaining. It implies having a long fuse, showing great resistance. No, great restraint, excuse me, and remaining calm or forgiving when provoked or during long-term painful situations. So when I look at long suffering, I think about some of the times that I was going through addiction. Whether it was drinking, drugs, gambling, womanizing, you name it. Times that I spent in prison, dealing with losing my freedom, being somewhere I didn't want to be, missing my family, my kids, my loved ones, and then dealing with addiction. Struggling with that, losing my self-respect and confidence within myself, feeling like I've lost. Well, actually, I did lost myself completely. I didn't have any type of vision. I was just existing. There was a time in life I was just existing. My whole goal for the day was, what I needed to do to get high. And, the worst thing was, love and drugs don't mix. So, you hurt the ones you love. And, it's just like, you try to stay high, not to realize, how bad your situation is you have to face when you're sober. So again, once I started, turning life around, and I've been clean going on 5 years now.
Amen.
So, thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. And it was a long road. It was a long road developing trust again. So, and being able to support myself again. I mean, you lose so much, but by the grace of God, and that you all going to church, because I didn't go to any treatment or anything. I just, started, reading my Bible and praying and going to church. And, there was a up and down, that was a up and down, mission. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because consistency and discipline is what I'm working on. So, I just like the place I'm in now because I'm fully aware and of what, I want in life. And, I'm just trying to continue to progress in my spiritual walk. And with that, thank you all.
Yeah, amen. Praise
the Lord.
Yeah. God is an awesome God. The long suffering part, and I want to add this part to it because I think it's a good foundation as we go forward tonight. Long suffering is also what people go through while watching us go through.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're on the sideline. Some may participate, some may not, but they're always on the sideline, hopefully watching and saying, at some point this is going to end, and they're long suffering enough to stick with us,
right?
Waiting for the end to come.
Yes,
and that's important because sometimes we think we are the ones doing the long suffering because we're just the ones suffering. But the ones that are long suffering the most are the people that have watched us. Our parents long suffered with us because they told us what not to do and we did it anyway. And they sat back watching what they were trying to prevent in our lives take place. And they sat there with that mindset knowing, I told them so. I asked you not to. And yet they love us anyway. Oh, God.
Praise God.
And so that long suffering, it's an internal, external type of a key word in the scripture, because when we see long suffering from the proper perspective, we start realizing it ain't just me. I'm doing the suffering. But it's those people around me that are living with me while I'm suffering, knowing that I could that this could have been avoided had a different choice had it been made.
Hallelujah.
So long suffering also connects to the concept of bad choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bad choices make somebody have to have long suffering. And so now that we're in God, our choices and our decision making needs to get better. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
And the way that it'll get better is when we recognize the foundation of the word long suffering. Because when you recognize this is not, it's like people used to say, I ain't hurting nobody but me. Biggest lie Satan ever had somebody tell out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. Because if people love you and they watch you hurt, they're hurting too.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
They may not say anything because they give you their free moral agent permission, which is it's your life, but they're hurting too because no parent wants to see their child go to a penitentiary. Not if they're not mentally ill or something. You know, no husband wants to see the wife end up on alcohol and drugs. No wife wants to see her husband spending all the money at the racetrack that needs to pay the bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's long suffering going on around us that when you wake up and you see it, you'll make better decisions because you recognize my decision is affecting a lot of different people, even though my vision won't allow me to see them. But if I can just understand that I'm not in the world by myself, and whatever I do creates a ripple effect around me, then my choice, my decision making changes.
Yes.
Because I start realizing it ain't about, let's go back to Galatians, the fifth chapter, so we get this, and then we'll move on to six.
Quick.
Go ahead.
Because what I'm hearing as we speaking, if even my brother would read the definition again, it's like what make it a fruit of the spirit is, it's not what we grow through, go through. You see, I always say grow, so go don't even have to come out. What we grow through, it's not what we grow through, it's how we grow through it, you know, because the definition explains, you know, it's without complaining. You know, if he go back into the definition, and that's what make it a fruit of the spirit, because I feel like it can be a difference in biblical and then long suffering that people might consider, or it's another word when you're growing through something from the worldly perspective, because it's a fruit, which means that it's something good. So it ain't what you're going through, it's how you're going through it. Are you going through it without complaining? You know what I'm saying? And read that definition, my brother, please, one more time.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I'm at here. One second. Okay. Oh, okay. You see my demands. Okay, wait a minute. All right. Okay, it says long suffering is an adjective used to describe someone who is patiently enduring lasting offense, hardship, or difficulty without complaining.
Come on.
It implies having a long fuse, showing great restraint, and remaining calm or forgiving when provoked or during long-term painful situations.
It ain't what we going through, it's how we go through it. That's what makes it a fruit of the spirit. That's what connects it from the spiritual aspect, from the worldly aspect. So that's just what I was hearing, and I just wanted to add to that if I may.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So go back to Ephesians 5 for just a moment. Go back to verse 16. Because you just mentioned it, Sister Hawanda, the fruits of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
And there's fruit that's developing, going back to what Sister Tara shared. It's fruit that's developing in her. And as Sister Hawanda said, you never went to a peach tree with good ripe fruit and ate the peach and spit it out because it's good to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It brings satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
And so all the fruit of the flesh brings reaction, and the fruit of the spirit brings satisfaction.
Come on, hallelujah.
Did you hear me? So watch what it says, verse 16, he says, this I say then, 5:16, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because our bodies are always wanting something. We got the wants like you never, it wants something all the time. Got to eat 4 or 5 times a day and then have 18 snacks in the middle of all that. It just wants. right?
Yes.
But when you walk in the spirit, you begin to go, okay, I know what you want, but I now know what to feed you.
Yeah.
I ain't feed you everything that you want anymore. I'm feeding you things that's going to make me stronger on the inside rather than you stronger on the outside. And it becomes a whole different ball game. Glory to God. So let's go ahead and move forward. I just wanted to touch that. Walk in the spirit. That's what he started. Use those fruits of the spirit every chance you get, and you get stronger and stronger internally. In fact, it'll get so strong to it'll be your knee-jerk reaction to do the right thing.
Yes.
It just becomes a knee-jerk. Oh, I can't do that. And people will be looking at you. And of course, they're going to say things like, you think you're better than me. And it's not that you think you're better than anybody. It is that God has made you better in the spirit, and you're not as needy as everybody. I don't need what you need. That's all it is. It ain't like I don't think like you think, but I don't need it like you need it. And I can walk away from something that you won't walk away from, knowing what that thing that you won't walk away from is doing.
Come on, help us.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move over to this is New Covenant Church of Christ life study and Bible study, right? And so you all have, I mean, I'm so enamored tonight. I'm so blessed by the testimonies I heard. You all are going to be the Bible study teachers today.
Glory.
Well, I must admit, I think we tuned in maybe a couple minutes late because I didn't hear you say how you feel, Pastor.
Oh, bless your heart. How was my week?
Yeah.
Is that what you asked me?
Yes.
Yeah, my week is, I'm an old soldier in the Lord, and so my week is filled with so many amazing miracles, signs, and wonders.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That, believe it or not, I'm almost anesthetized to it to the point that I think it's normal.
Woo.
And the Lord had to show me today, I'm so glad you asked me. And the Lord had to show me today, don't let the work I do ever become normal to you.
Yeah.
Every miracle is a gift. Everything I do is me showing you I love you. This is me reaching down and letting you and putting a hug around you that a man can't hug you like, a woman can't hug you like. It's a hug. It's like you, when he does something, you no matter what mood you're in, all of a sudden, you know that was God that just did that one little thing right there. And it changes, it shifts everything for you. And it takes even the worst attacks of Satan and turns them into dust.
Come on, hallelujah.
And so, I say all that to say, I certainly have attacks through my week, but I have so many miracles and signs and wonders that show up. I almost forget the attack took place.
Come on.
I hope that makes some sense to everybody. Because that sounds silly. I forget that somebody cussed me out this morning. I forgot somebody cut me off in traffic. Because by the time they cut me off in traffic, the phone rang and somebody said, hey, I want to send you something to make sure I'm blessing you. By the time I got to the one corner where somebody was cussing and fussing and pointing and saying you drive too fast or too slow, the phone rang and somebody was telling me how they just got saved. And so, does that make sense? It happens so fast sometimes, it just waylays all of the negativity.
Yes.
And I almost forget that the negativity is even taking place.
Come on,
so
Lord.
So my weeks are filled with both, because I'm a pastor and I have a big target on my back when it comes down to the enemy. And sometimes I've gotten so accustomed to taking the hit that I just kind of go, oh, well, there you go again, devil. And then all of a sudden the miracle shows up and then I go, what was I talking about the hit? What happened?
Exactly.
And it's my hope and my prayer that everybody gets to that level at some point, because there'll be a time you ain't gonna have the time to talk about what you're going through.
Amen.
Yes. Because there's gonna be so many miracles and signs and wonders when the house shows up, when the new job or the new business shows up, when you learn to invest and the investment starts showing up, when you learn how to walk in a way that favor shows up almost every place you go, it's gonna be moving so fast, you ain't gonna have the time to complain about what didn't work out.
Yes, hallelujah.
Praise God.
So my week is beautiful in that regard. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored, and that's something you should incorporate too before we read. Incorporate when people ask you how you're doing, tell them I'm blessed and highly favored, because what you speak is what you draw.
Yes.
What Amen. You speak, and if you think I'm joking, here's how you can tell. Go stand on the west side of Chicago and just say dope, heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, soap, and see what draws to you. See, don't you end up with some boys over there with some hands out and some guns in their pockets saying, I got it, now give me your money.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And then go someplace and stand in the middle of the city and say Jesus is Lord and God is good all the time, and see those some folks show up with wings and halos around their head going, brother, how can we help you? What you speak is what you draw.
May I do a part?
Praise the Lord.
Is that the same as what you think of in your heart?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's go around the room. Did y'all hear what Tony's question was? He said, is that the same or similar to the scripture that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? Is that the same, Sister Hawanda?
I say so, because like you said, your words have power, yes. And it starts as a thought first, yes. So as a man thinketh, like, yeah, you get to choose the way you allow your thoughts to go. So I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Sister Wanda. Let's go over to Sister Maron. Is this the same?
I would say yes. Yes, sir. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So definitely there is no way you can't say something without thinking it or in your subconscious. So whatever you speak, or you already created in your mind, so they appear. So yes, sir, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, Brother Latif. You hey, want sorry. Bible, just, come on, your Bible teaching tonight. Come on, teach.
Yeah, my fault. The baby was crying and stuff. Can you go over the question one more time for me?
Sure. The question was, watch what you speak, because what you speak, you draw. I used as an analogy, if you go stand on the corner on the west side of Chicago and you start going fentanyl, cocaine, heroin, watch and see who shows up. Well, and then I said, but if you also, go ahead.
Well, the reason why I know that is true, like, so as a man think, it's like, you know, it's in that, you know, man's heart, is because even worldly people have their own analogy of it. And it's called the secret, or I don't know, kind of, you know, doing certain things that kind of, you know, have those certain situations gravitate towards you. So if worldly people can see the same principles, and then the Bible's talking about that principle, then that principle must be real. So, yeah, I do believe that, you know, if whatever you think, just, you know, how the brain works and whatever's going on, you know, in an unseen realm and things like that will gravitate towards you, because there's times I've caught myself, you know, even in bad situations, staying positive and everything positive continues. And then there's times where I'm really upset, and then you're sitting there walking, and then your belt loop gets caught in the door. You know, it's like... Mm-hmm. I am a believer in that, absolutely. I believe that's what that is.
Yeah. Okay, Brother Dewan, do you agree?
It's true also.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dewan.
Being thinking so is he. Yeah.
Okay. Sister Nakobe. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that the same as what you speak, you draw? Sister Nakobe, you still there? Okay, she may be gone. All right, so let's do this. Really quickly, let's turn our Bibles to Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 45. Luke 6, 45. Sister Marone agreed, everybody agreed, and I agree too. And not only do we agree, Jesus agreed with it. Not Paul, not Matthew, Mark, not Luke. Jesus agreed with what we just was just revealed to us. Matthew 6.
Luke what, Brother Monroe?
Did I say Luke? Yeah, Luke 6:45.
Okay. Luke 6:45, right before
Matthew. And then I'm gonna explain why that happens. And then we'll go on to read. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Luke 6:45. When you have it, say amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right.
Amen.
All right. And here we go. I'll read this part. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. This is Jesus talking. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of the heart. So why would that make any sense? And what is he saying? Is he talking about? So let me explain it. So the heart, when you go to a heart doctor, that doctor is called a cardiologist, right?
Yeah.
With a C. C-A-R-D-I-O-L-I-G-I-S-T. Cardiologist, right? Mm-hmm. In the Greek and the Hebrew, the word cardia is spelled with a K. K-A-R-D-I-A. And it means that the heart is connected to the mind, and therefore whatever's in the heart comes out through the mind and finds its way out of the mouth.
Yes.
Mm. And then Jesus later goes on to make this statement: a full heart creates an overflowing mouth. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Let's go catch this one. This one is good. A full heart, and this is Jesus talking. And hold on. Should be in Matthew.
Matthew.
I think that's the way he put it.
Matthew.
Matthew 12:34.
Okay.
And this is more than a revelational word, what we just went through.
Yes.
This is a word of wisdom. But I'll tell you why it's a word of wisdom, and then we'll go back to reading. Matthew 12:34. You have to say amen.
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 Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Watch what he says. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak something good? Ooh. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm.
Now watch what I'm giving. So here's the wisdom part. when you're around someone or around people and they can't seem to talk about anything else but what bothers them, it is simply God's way of showing a believer their heart is too full for you to fix it. People that talk about the same subject over and over means they're still hurting from the subject.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're over it, but their mouth is telling you a totally different story.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the wisdom part allows us to see there's still yet some healing to be done rather than some arguments to take place. Yes. I shouldn't be arguing with someone with a full heart. I should be praying for someone with mm-hmm. a full heart.
Yes.
Can I ask a question to that question?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
So how do you empty it?
Through confession. It is the only thing that, ooh, what a question.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What a question, what a question, what a question. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's only a couple of ways to empty one's heart. You ready for it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So the first way to empty one's heart, the Bible says, brethren, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed thereby.
Come on.
Amen.
Brethren, yeah. Learn how to confess your fault one to another. Because the part that causes the healing not to take place is the same part that Satan is using to cause the revealing not to show up. Because when the healing takes place is when we recognize our role in what was done.
Come on.
Yes.
As long as I'm confessing how bad somebody else is, oh God, I can't heal because I'm still seeing them being the problem. And never said, we talked about this in church on Sunday. We were talking about how can you take, I told everybody, raise your right hand. And they did. And I said, leave your left hand down by your side. And I clap. And everybody was sort of kind of perplexed. What is he doing? And I said, the reason that I did that is because you cannot clap with one hand. It takes both hands. You cannot have a problem with one person. It takes two people to have a problem. You can't argue by yourself unless you're just completely out your mind. It takes two people to even be in an argument. So therefore, I'm playing a role in this thing. I just don't pay attention to what I'm doing. When I can see what I did, I can now go and confess, yeah, I had a big problem with my wife the other day. And man, we argued for hours. But you know what I did? I never, ever stopped long enough to tell her, I'm sorry. And I love you, baby. And this ain't that. This don't even bother me. I never stood up and took the man's role and became the leader of the house and said, we go get through this thing. I was sitting right there in the middle of that stew, making just a bigger mess. See, what I can say, I went to the store and I left my wallet and I went up inside the place and bought a whole bunch of food. And then when the people asked me for money, I didn't have it. And they start talking to me crazy, and I start talking, but I can't admit the fact that I just literally forgot my wallet. I'm so sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Are we listening? But when I can come to a person and say, you know what, I forgot my wallet, and it caused a whole lot of problems, I got embarrassed by it, now I'm getting cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I was embarrassed. I felt small. I felt this. It wasn't what the people said. It was the mistake I made by leaving the wallet. The people just were part of Satan's way of making me feel small. But it was my... That
part. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Does that make any sense? So
the
question, how do we get cleansed? We get cleansed by doing exactly what... And this is why Jesus said this, and then we'll get to reading. This is why Jesus made these said these words to us. He said, here's my body. It's broken for you. And then he said, and this is the wine of my blood to cleanse you. Listen to it. He said, but let a man first examine himself. See, I can't get clean if I can't examine me.
Come on.
Mm. What's triggering that reaction in me? That's examining me. Not how I felt. That's not examining me, that's examining my emotions. But to examine me, I start asking myself what made me feel it. Right. Why did I respond like that? Go ahead.
That's what's coming up every time you talk. Like it's, he said, the truth of the matter is, you know, this is what happened. And it, like you said, it's not your feelings, but if you just get to the bottom of it, what the truth is, and that's what's going to set you free. And it's going to clean our heart, the truth.
And hallelujah. You-
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Is it like, I would say, could you say that we're just not meant to carry all the stuff in our heart?
Meant to carry it.
Amen.
We're not meant to carry. First off, the world wasn't meant to be like it is. That becomes the big miss. That becomes, I think, the most missing piece in our entire life puzzle. We keep thinking the world is meant to be. This is the way the world is. It is the way it is. It's not the way it was meant to be.
Come on.
When he created this, he didn't create it with all this madness. No, that was the fall that did that. That was Adam playing them games when it came down to losing his woman. And I sincerely believe back when Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? She ate from that tree. And she fell. I sincerely believe that if Adam didn't have so much love for his wife as he had for God, and you know he had a lot of love for her because he said this to God. He said, "Ooh, I'm looking at this sister, and I'm going, man, it's for this reason that a man should leave his mother and father and cleave only unto his wife." So you know Eve had to be gorgeous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he says to God, it's for this reason a man should. So he left his father. Because when she fell, how many of you know you can look into the eyes of the person you love and you can tell when they're bothered by something?
Yeah.
Amen.
Love just has that amazing capability. You can look into the eyes of somebody and go, "Oh, what's going on here?" Don't you know when she fell, Adam was able to look in her eyes and know that she was no longer under God? And he had to make a choice. Did he want his wife or did he want his daddy? Yeah, where's that fruit at, baby? which tree was it? Yeah, okay. Oh, my God. Yeah, but no, yeah, okay, honey. I'll be with you in a minute, baby. Let me go find the tree first, right? So that is why the world is like it is. And none of us made it. You didn't create it. God gave you the power to recreate it. I hope you heard what I said.
Yes.
He didn't create it. He knows it's messed up. He knows Trump's in office. Mm-hmm. He knows that they're dropping bombs in Iran and Afghanistan and in Israel. He knows all that's taking place. He didn't give us the authority to speak a word and stop that. He gave you the authority to speak a word and come out of that mess and recreate your own world within his kingdom. That's why you're kingdom citizens. And that's the part that you have to retain and keep inside of you. I'm a kingdom citizen. I'm no longer in the world. I mean, I'm in it, but I'm no longer of it. So I don't have to respond to everything that I see. You know, they can throw as many, you know, award-winning rappers as they want to on my TV. You ain't gonna hear me going, "I got 99 problems." You know, I'm not.
Amen.
But why?
Yeah.
Because I understand which world they're in. I don't fault them. Does that make sense? It's not our job to fault them. because they're blind. It's our job to glorify God because he opened my eyes. And I no longer eat from that tree. I choose not to eat it any longer. So I ain't running around, and I told my kids one day, and we're going to read in a minute, because tonight is supposed to be you all's Bible study night for you all to do some things. But I told kids when they were growing up, I had daughters, and I told my daughters very clearly, I said, listen, I want y'all to get this, because your daddy is saved. That means I love the Lord, and I know the difference between right and wrong. And I said, as much as I love you and want you to have a good life, if Snoop Dogg was to come up to our front door and say, man, I love your daughter, can I have permission to marry her? I'm chasing him away. I don't care how much money he's got.
I know that.
Are you listening? If Ice-T or T-Bone Jones and blah, 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 okay. I don't care if he's in the NBA. If he if he don't have an NDA with God, I don't want him. That and you ain't going to have him.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So we didn't make the world. We're now in a adverse situation that God has given you the ability to recreate an acceptable environment by what you speak, the whole glory. So I don't care. I don't care what anybody says or does. I'm not going to call my wife out of her name because I'm not going to create that environment anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to walk around and tell you can't call me and say, you got $5? No, I'm broke. Because I know I just spoke something.
I know that's right.
Did you hear me?
Sure.
No, I'm broke. No, I may not have that right now. I may not even know where it's coming from, but I'm going to pray about it, and we'll see if God can do something about that. But first, let me find out why you're broke. Right? Because you may be speaking some things that's causing some things in your environment.
Yeah.
And God is trying to get us to recognize, I called you to recreate a world, not to be a creation within side of the structure what Satan has done. That's why you've been called. I hope you get this. That's why you've been called. He doesn't make mistakes in who he calls.
Come on.
That would mean God is kind of not too smart. So he called me and I'm a drug dealer? God must not be too smart. No, he's smart enough to know that by the time he gets through washing and cleansing, shaping and remolding, that same drug dealer that escaped the police is going to be the same man that escapes Satan and teaches other people how to escape him. He knows who he calls. The woman that laid in the bed with all kinds of men because she thought she needed love so bad, and now she's saved because God called her. She's going to be the person that invites everybody into the bedroom of God but never have to lay down with nobody. He knows who he's calling.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Joe the Wino gets called and turns around and gets everybody high on Christ. Ain't that something?
Yeah. It is.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, we didn't make the environment, family. We are actually victims of what Satan has done.
Yes.
Until we become victorious in what God is doing. You're a victim in what Satan has done in the world. When you come into the kingdom, you become victorious through what God is doing in you.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Profound.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So I hope that answers the question. How do we cleanse ourselves? Because that was the question. You get cleansed, and here's the last thing about cleansing. You don't just tell what you need to tell to anybody. Because there's some gossipy folk out there. And you'll tell them, and it'll be on Channel 5 News. He said, confess your faults. Find someone trustable. that you can talk to and say, I've done this. This was my role. This is what Satan used me and caused me to do. But now I can see him. I can be free of him. Yeah. See, until I can see it, I can't be free from it. You ever been, what's a good way to put that? You ever got your foot caught in something? Ever got a foot or an arm or a finger caught in something? And you have to examine the thing that it's caught in to see how it's caught so you can release it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing with our souls. I have to be able to examine how it got caught, what got it tangled, and then I can unravel that thing and come out of it free. I have to be able to even go back into my past and look at the first lie I told and ask myself why I told it. I have to go back to the first drink I had. Oh, we're getting ready to go in a whole different direction, Father.
I have to
be able to go back to the first drink that I had and ask myself, why did I even need the drink?
Can I add to that?
Now, I might have started off as a foolish little prank where some of my buddies said, here, try this. But at some point, it stopped being their prank and it started being my need. Something made me have to do this over and over and over and over. What caused that? What caught me up and tangled me up that made me think that that thing was the thing that I needed in order to be me?
Can I add
Does that make sense? Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, man, you just really hit that on the head. How you say going back in the past. So as I told you guys before that, you know, I was helping a friend because he was addicted to pornography. And I can remember back, you know, when I really started looking back, you know, what caused it. And then it stuck out to me because I was like, oh, my gosh, I see exactly where it came from. FYI, don't ever let your kids sleep over people's house. Just don't do it. So I grew up in a time, you know, like where I slept over my friend's house a lot. And then I kind of remembered because I was over there that I caught the father watching stuff on the computer, not realizing that spirit that was in that house jumped on me, that played on my insecurities, and that played on me having a coping mechanism because that's how Satan set that up.
Yeah.
So you see, once you go back in your past, you see exactly where it came from. And I'm just like, there's no reason, like, there's just obviously a reason why I'm being showed that in my mind, shown that. So that's where it originated. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
And you know, going back, you know, last week, Pastor Monroe, how you were saying, like, Satan, he will throw stuff out there and see if it'll stick. And it's up to you to react to it. You know, in my mind, I kind of think of it as like a blackjack, you know, guy dealing out cards, like, hey, this going to work? This going to work? And after that, I've been like kind of noticing, like, all right, so I have a choice here to react to being dealt to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. But that also was talking about early, and I just wanted to encourage Apostle that, you know, make me even more honored to have you as a leader, you know, because what you're showing us is true leadership, you know. It takes, and I just want to let you know that your meekness does not mean that you are weak. Your meekness is not weakness, because as you like your testimony, that's really what it was, playing the fruits of the spirit and not allowing somebody else story or however they view you or whatever they have to say to jump off on you, because all you got to do is feed into it, and that's what's going to make you don't even give it no attention, no victory, you ain't giving it no glory, so it ain't jumping off on you. So that's what you are showing us, yes, through your lifestyle, how to navigate, you know. So I just
hallelujah. Great example, and if we still haven't read, I guess this is the Bible study the Lord wanted, 6:51 already. But just to help this so we see it, do you know how many people AA has helped to stop drinking? You know how many people NA has helped to stop using? How many people Sexual Anonymous has helped to stop having perversions and doing certain things? And you know what they all have in common? Anybody know?
No.
Everybody starts the meeting off by saying, I'm an alcoholic and my life is unmanageable. They because that that confession, one to another, is allowing them to get cleansed.
Yes.
Because they're around some people they can trust with that level of a confession, because the people that they're confessing are people that have been through. And so they don't look at them like, you what? They go, me too, brother. And but for the grace of God, I've been clean 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, 100 days. But it don't matter how long they get clean, they all recognize they're only one day away from going back. And so as a believer, you can never allow yourself to get big-headed enough to think you got it all worked out, whipped up, and put into a bag where you can carry Jesus around and become the ultimate. Because you realize no matter how deep you go, no matter how much power God releases into your spirit, no matter how much he does through your life, you still realize, but for the grace of God, I'm one mistake away from hell.
Come on, yeah.
Glory to God. Yes, sir. Do we have what? Yes, sir. Go in there. Your mom should be able to show you how to get on it. Same as the other. Go ahead, Sister One. I was talking to myself.
Never been to Alcohol Anonymous, but what I do notice is the confession at the beginning is good, but to continue to confess that over your life after you've been delivered or healed from it is, you know, that's how I feel like it don't match with the ways of the kingdom. You know, see, they'll create something that's good. However, it won't last. Ain't nothing gonna last if we don't have Christ as the head. We don't have Abba as the head of it, because you don't continue to speak that same thing over your life. And that's what, you know, people that haven't drunk alcohol in 10 years, but that because of that group have them still saying, I'm an alcoholic and the devil is a lie. That's who I used to be, you know?
That's right. Absolutely. Amen. Right.
Amen.
Absolutely right. And that is the reason why they're always one day away from it coming back. Because what they're not realizing, and this is where the program goes wrong, is that the confession helped people to get out. The continuous confession lets them remain in.
Yeah.
The continued wrong confession. Exactly. See, because so that's why, going back to what we were talking about, the getting cleansed part. So that is why when you can speak and confess, what is it, James? Calm. CloudComUSA.com, my email address. And so the key point is the confession helps them to keep clean. Their circumstance has them continuously confessing and people go back. Get it? But the confession, what was the confession doing? And I want you to catch it from the biblical, spiritual standpoint, a revelational place for you. The revelational place is when Jesus said, confess your faults, confess your sins to me, you've been forgiven. And so the minute you keep confessing something that you've been forgiven of, you're now putting yourself in jeopardy of becoming it again. Are you listening?
Well, that's the same as going, that's the same as spiritual, though.
It is spiritual.
When you go into meetings and things like that, that's a place where people, it's just like you get out what you put in. So, I mean, if you say, you know, I'm Anthony, a recovering addict. You know, that to me is not saying that I'm an addict. That's saying I'm a recovering addict, and I'm going to remain one for the rest of my life, because I'm one hit away from being right back where I used to be, just like the same if you're not nurturing your spiritual walk.
So, very well said, Tony.
On the Bible study, going to church.
Yep. Yep, very well said. And let me share this one thing with you, because we just really read it, and you'll get the revelation on it by and by. I guarantee you will. And that's why I said walk in the spirit, so you can not go for the lust of the flesh. When the Holy Ghost comes, just trust me on this. When the Holy Ghost comes, you'll never say it again. Because the Holy Ghost will prevent you from speaking that into your own life. But it takes the Holy Ghost. That's what true deliverance is. We go through a process in our walk with God. That process might take five things away and six things remain. Paul still had some of those problems. That's why he said, I sought the Lord about my thorn in my side, and I sought him thrice. And the Lord came back and said to me, my grace is sufficient. You're going to have to live with that thing until I deliver it through the Spirit. Some things, once the Spirit comes.
Come on.
When I was in church back in 1997, Tony, I sat up in the church. I had been through a recovery program. I had been in it about 7-8 months. And I go to church to hear a man play some drums. I didn't go to church to go to church. My mama sent me to church when I was a little boy. I was in the church choir as a young man. And so I think God saw me. Glory to God. I hope that's what happened. Because I had no intentions on going to church. A guy told me to come listen to him play drums because I'm a musician and I was working in the studio, even though I was going through recovery. And he was a young kid. And so I said, yeah, I'll come hear you play. And me and four guys. Okay. Hold on for a minute, everyone. And so I said, yeah, I'll go. Me and three other guys, we said, we're going to go and support the guy. The code is 475-350, James. And so we went to support the young man. And when I got in the church, this is absolutely transparent truth. And I got in the church. And when I got in the church, I'm sitting there looking at the guy walking down the aisle. And I'm seeing the church was big. It was full. And I saw all of these beautiful young women. And they didn't look all torn up and beat up like the streets and so forth and so on. And I'm going, I need a real woman. And so I'm going, but they ain't gonna mess with me because I know I've been torn up. So they ain't gonna mess with me unless, oh, there's an idea. I need some Bibles. Because if I have a Bible in my hand, they may think I go to church. Ooh. So a guy's coming down the aisle and I said to him, hey, homie. Hey, player, come here for a minute, man. Little short guy, stocky, looked like he had a pistol on his hip. And I'm thinking, he's got a little gangster in him, so he's my kind of guy. Come here, man. And he comes over, he said, how can I help you? And I said, I need a couple of Bibles. Me and my boys came here. I said, there's some fine women up in this church. I need to look like I go to church. He said, I'll see what I can do for you. And he leaves. And we're sitting there talking and talking about the women and how well-dressed they are and how nice they look. And nobody's got red eyes and nobody looks like they've been through a whole lot. And 5-10 minutes later, the man comes back. He's got four Bibles. He hands me one. He says, I hope this helps you. And I said, thank you, brother. We'll talk later. You know, I'm trying to chum up to him. 10 minutes later, the music starts. I'm listening to the kid play drums. And I'm going, he can play. He's pretty talented. And then about 5 minutes after the music stops, that same man goes up and preaches. He's the pastor of the church. And I'm looking at him, and it dawns on me, I'm talking about player and homie, come here. And he never said to me, get up out of my church, man. When I said, I'm here, I'm getting ready to knock off some of these young women, he never said, brother, he handed me a Bible and said, I hope it helps you.
Hallelujah.
And I sat there and I looked at that man and I heard him say, out of the whole message, he preached for about 45 minutes. Can't tell you what the message was about. But I can tell you I heard one specific thing. And I heard him say, whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed.
Come on.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I wondered while I was sitting there, does that mean I'll never have to go to another table? Is God that big? Does that mean I'll never open my mouth and ever confess that I'm this again? That my life is unmanageable, that I'm hoping something good can happen in my life. I wonder if that means, and I jumped up out that seat and I ran to the front of the church, I accepted Christ, and something hit me like a ton of bricks, brother. I ran around crying and shouting and asking God to forgive me because he told me, you see how messed up your mind is? Because you see everybody like you. You couldn't even see a good man. That man cared for you and gave you a Bible. He didn't see you as something negative, nasty, dirty, and filthy. He didn't say, get out. He didn't say, go do this. He didn't say, go do that. That's my pastor.
Gentleness. That's what I see gentleness is. That fruit of the spirit that my sister.
That fruit of the spirit of gentleness.
Yes.
Amen.
He didn't laugh at me. He didn't look down on me and go, hold on, brother. You're in Second Baptist Church here in Joliet. Who do you think you're talking to?
Exactly.
He didn't have none of that phoniness.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have none of the high-mindedness. And we became very, very good friends. So we did become close. But we became close in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Because from that day forward, I was at church every Sunday. Made no excuses. I needed to know what God had done in me. What is this thing that I'm experiencing? Because when I left out of there, I couldn't lie.
Yes.
I couldn't steal.
Can we go to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17?
Yes, ma'am.
Corinthians.
You all are teaching Bible study tonight, I guess. Come on, teach.
Let's go to Corinthians 5 and 17.
5, verse 17?
Yes, you want to read it, my brother?
You said 1 Corinthians?
Second. 2 Corinthians, yeah. Mm-hmm.
5, 17?
Yes.
5, 17. It starts off with therefore. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Keep going.
Now, I think that covers even what we was talking about before Apostle testified, but that then also lines up his testimony that he became a new creature after he received that meekness, you know, and then took the Bible and went up to the altar. But it also goes back to when we was just talking about
that makes it. I'm seeing it now.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. I never viewed it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Because at the same time, it's all coming together. Because without this, I wouldn't be able to be clean anyway.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. The word over yourself. You a whole new creature. See, they want to keep remind you who the devil is, the accuser of the brethren. Why would y'all keep reminding you of what you used to be? He said you a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. You don't need to be reminded of who you used to be unless you need to look back over your life and tell your testimony to somebody else. That's why I say what they got. And what they saying is for the world, but when it come, when we walk into the kingdom, when we switch partners, because we really can't be truly free until we surrender our life to the Most High. All of that stuff is temporary. You know, it'll work for a moment.
Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord, somebody. She's right. Let me tell you how you can tell. Right. This is where the Spirit gives you revelation at. Here's how you can tell, because it would be different if people came into church and rather than you calling them brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so after they've been there a while and you see change taking place and you still call them Harry the heroin user and Harriet the harlot. You know, I mean, you don't remind people of what they were. You keep pointing people to the destiny that God has for them.
Yeah.
So anything that keeps reminding me, I don't even call people by their nicknames in New Covenant. Most people don't catch it. But if somebody comes in and says, oh, yeah, they called me, you know, JoJo in the street, I'm not doing that. Because all I'm doing is reminding you of what you were in the street.
Mm.
If your name is Joseph, sir, I'm calling you Joseph. That's the other thing about the pastor that you have. You'll notice I say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am to people. I'm not saying that because I'm from deep down in Mississippi. I'm saying that because you deserve some respect.
Yes.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen.
Because it'll make the man show up. It'll make the woman show up. Hey, glory to God. Because you deserve to be called what God sees you as.
Yes. He also said he throws it in your sin in the sea of forgetfulness after you confess that thing. So you know that that's not of Yah for something to keep on bringing it up, because it's only the devil that's an accuser. Oh, you remember what you used to be now. You mm-hmm. know you step away. He said, no, once you repent, he said he throws it in your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. So when you even come back to him saying, forgive me again, he like, what are you talking about?
I got someone close to me that's still struggling with addiction, but it's like when I try to encourage this person, they make me feel like, you know, she looks at the fact that, you know, I've had ups and downs, you know, throughout the times I've been on drugs. So, you know, like I'm better than this person. You know, they try to make me feel like now that I'm going to church and this and that, it's like, oh, you think you so much better, you know. But they still look at me as that same person instead of accepting me as the person that's changed and trying to be better. So is it like better to just, you know, keep trying to lead by example and not, you know, try to, you know, how do you go about, you know, trying to encourage someone you love, you know, to try to better yourself and you know, without her feeling like, oh, you think you so much better than me now. I'm talking about my sister.
That was 5. I feel like we just learned that last. Well, week before last when we was in Galatians 5, where he said, don't put yourself in those situations to where you trying to help somebody else to where you could be tempted, or saying the strong bearing the infirmities of the weak. So that's a thin line between that, because sometimes he said that he told Yahshua that he wasn't respected in his own home, so he just had to shake the dust off of his feet. So you some people may never see you for who you are, and I know you desire and want that, but you have to get to the realization that they just may not ever see that. And I just think only your lifestyle can speak for that, and it's, you know, some because your words at this point don't matter to them, you know, so it's only your lifestyle that can testify.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time too, you're not in that environment anymore. You've been completely removed out of that. But I mean, that environment, you're not in the world anymore. So if you making that choice to follow, you know, our Lord and our Savior and stuff like that, a lot of people misconstrue that, and Satan gets them in their head where they think that, oh, this person is better than me. It's not that, because you can be in that exact same spot. You're fighting something that is free to you, that the Lord loves you enough to give to you too. And mm-hmm. it's because removed yourself from that environment, and it's a welcoming environment that even your sister too can come at any time. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's powerful. Can I also add something to it, because we're just coming in at 7:10 now, but I want to add one more thing to it so that you're never shocked by this, right? Every person on this phone that takes God seriously has heard over and over, you think you're better than me.
Yeah.
Get used to that. But let me tell you where it's coming from. It is not coming from someone saying, you think you're better than me. It is someone that does not yet know how to confess their role in their own guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Right? And tell me if this doesn't make sense. So you're having a heart attack on the corner. Someone comes up and tells you, you've eaten too much pork, you took in too much butter, you ate too many egg yolks, but I'm a doctor. Here is how I'm going to fix you. Would you reject them and say you think you're better than me? Anybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
This is wisdom. No, you wouldn't reject it. You'd go fix me. That means you're ready to stay alive. And so a lot of times when people are saying those things to you, they're saying, I'm not ready yet. I don't work out yet. What I'm trying to do is to get you to come back in. I don't want to come out. I need you to come back in. Because for some reason, while you were in, you were part of my comfort and also part of my excuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you listening?
Amen.
You know, so when you hear you think you're better than me, that's just someone actually, their guilt saying, I ain't ready to come out. Because you're telling me how to save my life. And I'm spitting it back in your face.
Yes.
And you don't want
to
hear.
Who does that?
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's not you're better than anybody, or you shouldn't feel guilty about that. You should recognize the guilt that's coming out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's one more thing I want to share with you all before we end the service. Okay, no. Back here in December when God really was coming to me, when I felt his presence. No, I just felt so vulnerable and naive, but just like now, it's like I'm feeling comfortable. So when I keep praying, I keep asking him, where are you? Where is that feeling that I had? So when I was feeling like this last week, I was on YouTube, and I go on these channels where they be talking about prayer in the morning and in the afternoon and at night, morning prayers. And it was said that it was saying, if you get comfortable with him, what do you do? Because I just keep saying to myself, where is that drive that I had? Even though I'm still doing the same thing, you know, I'm still coming to church, I'm still paying my tithing, I ain't gonna read my Bible, but I want to start on that. But it's just like, I'm doing all of this just to say, is that the fear of God right there? Because I don't want to ever turn back. I don't never want to turn
Hallelujah.
Back.
Hallelujah.
I'm keep going forward. I'm keep getting up on everything that I'm supposed to be doing. So what is that? What is that I don't want to get
I can explain it. Yes, ma'am. I can explain it to you.
Okay.
So you identified where the issue is when you said, I'm still doing what I was doing. I'm still doing that. And I'm still doing this, but I'm not reading. So watch what I'm getting ready to say. The reason that sometimes we miss the move of God, it's like driving without a map. And somebody told you you're supposed to get off. Somebody told you to get off on 72nd Street. And you didn't have a map, and there's no street sign. And you went all the way to 199th Street. In fact, that the highway ended. And you find out you're in a whole new city. And you're going, how did that happen? You didn't know the map. And
yeah,
so you didn't
okay.
see where to get off and where to get on. You didn't see those things. And so the Bible is a map. And what it tells you, because when you're going through your day, it's just like it's very much like your earlier testimony.
Okay.
When you know that he says, when you read your Bible, you find out that experience you had, somebody else had it, you'll see God. And not only will you see them, you'll stop and start crying like a baby because you'll know you're experiencing the kingdom even though you didn't know it was happening like that. But when you read it, when I got saved going back to 1997, there were things that had changed in me. I didn't know why. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have a clue. And then the more I started reading the Bible, I started realizing I knew the things instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had changed in me. So instinctively, I knew I couldn't do this anymore. I could see sin now. It was clear as a bell. Sin was like Fred Hammond's song, Jesus Be a Fence Around Me. It was like there was a fence around me, and I knew if I went out that yard, I was going to be in sin.
Okay. Amen.
And so when I started reading my Bible, I started reading little things that I was already doing, and I knew. And not only did I know, I don't There might not have been a week that could go by where I was not on my knees weeping and crying and thanking him.
Okay.
Say, thank you, God. See, okay. So the word is meant to stimulate your path. It's not meant to create the path. It's meant to stimulate it. Because you're meant to see God when you look in there and see your own life and know, oh, he already did that in me. I can sense it.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says in his spirit, listen to what your word says. I probably better show this to you so you know I didn't just say it, right?
Okay.
But the Bible says his spirit bears witness with your spirit. His spirit, well, what is his spirit? Bible says that the word is his spirit.
Okay.
Oh, God. Mm. The very Bible you're reading is his spirit.
Okay. Thank you.
Right?
Yes.
Jesus said, the words I speak, their spirit and their life. Right? So watch this. I think that's in Hebrews. Let me go find it for you.
Okay.
And so if I don't have word Zoe inside of me, right?
Yes.
Then he could be standing right next to me, performing a miracle for the person right next to me while I'm standing there because I'm there. And I don't even catch it because I don't know that he functions like that. And so I'm thinking, I don't feel him. And he's trying to tell me, no, you don't need to feel me. You should be able to see me now.
Okay.
Romans 8:16. Look at it real quick.
Okay, Romans 8:16.
I don't know how many times in my walk, especially as a newborn with God, you can just flip open the Bible and it'll land to exactly what you need to see.
Yep.
As a babe in Christ. When you get grown, he expects you to have some study habits. But as a baby, flip, ooh, that was a word in season. Praise the Lord, I'm good to go for the next 6 months. But when you become an adult, as he's growing you, he's saying, come up out of that feeling mode and come into that faith mode. You're going to be able to feel your way through because there's going to be some times when the only thing that's going to get you through is faith, not feelings. There'll be some times when you're sick and you're going to feel sick, not feeling Jesus. You're going to be feeling sick.
Okay.
And the only thing that's going to get you through that sickness is faith.
The word.
There'll be some times when you feel tempted and you ain't going to feel tempted and feel Jesus because the Bible says God cannot tempt. So the temptation and Jesus ain't hanging out at the same time. However, if you got faith, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. And that faith will have you have the ability to resist with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you'll see God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God, you got me through that moment. I was having a moment. Oh.
Hallelujah.
Romans 8:16. You got it?
Yes.
Someone read it if you have it.
Okay, you said Romans 8:16.
Yes, ma'am, Romans 8:16.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit.
What did it say?
The Spirit himself.
Uh-huh.
Okay, my brothers and sisters saying, hold on, they ain't got it. I'm going to let them get there first.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, hold on, yeah.
Romans 8:16.
It was eight, okay. Chapter 8 and 16?
Yes, yes. Let me know when you're ready. The Spirit himself bears. You got it? Okay.
Yes.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Yah.
Amen. And so that doesn't sound like double talk to you, notice that the first word spirit is spelled with a capital S.
Yes, capital S, yes.
Which means it's the Holy Spirit. Every time you see capital S, that's the Holy Spirit he's talking about. He ain't talking about a man. He ain't talking about a demon. He ain't talking about an emotion. He's talking about the Holy Ghost himself. And the Holy Ghost bears witness in my spirit, the man that I am, the woman that you are. Right?
Yes,
and so it'll be through reading the word, and all of a sudden you'll be walking down the street, or you might be in the shower, you might be cooking, You might be taking the kids out for a walk, and he'll speak a word in your spirit. It'll shake you so bad the kids will start shaking because you'll see, oh, my God, I just saw God, and I missed him at that moment, but I caught him in the word. The word came back to me and spoke to me. That's why Jesus said in St. John 14:26, he said, my Father will send one in my name called the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you in all things, but he'll also bring back to your remembrance everything that I spoke. So I can't remember it if I don't read it.
Come on.
Yeah. I want somebody that's on the phone right now to start remembering the formula for, for 91 octane gas. What's the formula?
A 91 octane gas?
Mm-hmm. What's the formula for it?
Let me write that.
What's the formula for jet fuel? Anybody know? Hold on, what's the formula? I didn't ask you what it was.
Okay, I don't know. I'm ready to hear it though.
Well, watch this. I'm getting ready to go right to my computer. I'm getting ready to go and type in what is the formula to make 91 octane gas. Y'all ready for this? What's your answer? Here we go. The formula is the volume of the first fuel needs to be in gallons or liters. Second, the octane rating of the first fuel. Thirdly, you have to put the volume of the second fuel in the octane rating for the second fuel. How much octane booster do you need to make 87 turn into 91? Well, I don't know those things, but I can look them up. And I don't know what God is doing until I look it up.
Come on.
Can we keep it simple?
Yes, thank you.
And so a lot of times, God is moving all around us. Please hear me, family. God is moving around you. He's moving in the trees. He's moving in the grass. He shows you stuff. If you look at the grass, that it has to point towards its source.
Yes.
It don't grow sideways. It grows straight. Even if you look at the trees, they don't grow into the ground. They grow out of the ground. Everything has a message, and it's always messaging about your God.
Yes.
But if you don't know...
Yeah.
And you don't understand the formula.
Okay.
Then you'll be trying to feel what you ought to know.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the 91 octane gas. Do you feel it when you drive?
Nope.
It doesn't run the car.
It runs the car.
And that's what you need to know. And that's what faith is. Faith runs the car. I just need to know what to put in the car. That's all.
Yes.
What to put in my tank. And more I put, whatever I put in my tank, that's what my car is running on. And so if I start putting bad fuel in the car, it starts to sputtering. It'll break down. May not start. That's what happens when we can't get up in the morning. Bad fuel. That's what happens when you can't make yourself, when you go get a job and can't keep it. Bad fuel.
Yes.
Anybody listening? That's what happens when you have a relationship and you don't know how to love the other person. The fuel is bad. You just need some better fuel.
Yes.
With a higher octane in it. And God is high octane.
Okay.
With God, you can fly. With God, you can go to the moon and back. You know, I want to give you the last analogy. Last analogy about travel. How many of you think it's a difficult thing to go from here all the way up to the moon? Takes a lot, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right? It's a faraway place, right?
It's 22,000 miles.
We'll say it again.
I said 22,000 miles.
22,000 miles to the moon?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I thought that's what I heard.
Okay.
I thought I heard this.
We better Google that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's 200 and, oh, I ain't going to tell you, Google it.
I know it's more than
238,000.
Yeah, it's way more.
How miles is it from Earth to the moon?
How many?
238,000.
Yeah.
I think that's how that meant. I think that meant 200
and something. If you're a member of New Covenant Church of Christ, you're supposed to be smart. Come on now. How many? 200 and what? 38,000? Except on a blood moon, which is 50,000 miles closer to the earth. Did you hear me?
On a what moon?
What is a blood moon? The red moon, when it's real big in the sky. Sometimes they even call it blue moon. They made a song about a blue moon. You saw me standing alone. That blue moon thing is real, but that's really a blood moon in the Bible. And it's 50,000 miles. It's 50,000 miles closer to the Earth at that particular junction of its movement, of its orbit, than it normally is. But basically, 238,000 miles from the Earth. And many of us think we ain't going too far. But I want you to think about this: how many of you have a car?
I do.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody, I hope. Most people, right? And if you've had a car, and let's say you've had four cars. Right, in your lifetime, and you drove each car 100,000 miles, how far did you go?
100,000.
Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
If you had four cars and each one drove 100,000 miles, how far did you go?
400,000
miles. The moon is only 238,000 miles. You've been to the moon and back and don't even know it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now all you have to do is put that into your spirit and recognize that ain't nothing can hold me back because I've already been very far. I just need to now organize where I'm going. So as I'm going far the next time, I'm headed someplace that I'm happy with, that I can appreciate myself for. I can still...
That's where we go.
Does anybody get that? Praise the Lord.
Sir.
Yeah. You've been to the moon and back and don't even know it. Think all I've been doing is going around in circles. No, you've put moon miles in. Now put moon miles in the spirit and go where God can take you.
Ooh. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God. I think we better close out. It's almost 7:30. I'm going to turn to Sister Hawanda and ask you to close us out in prayer, please.
Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just want to say thank you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for all the testimonies. We thank you for all that was shared on today. We thank you, hallelujah, for new birth on today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for new birth in the spirit and in the natural. Hallelujah. We are great. Woo, we grateful. We are grateful on today. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Want to say thank you. Hallelujah. We come asking all the time, but we just want to adore you on today. We want to magnify you, lift you up. We want to give you all the glory that's due to you. Hallelujah. Because we thank you for being Yah and Yah all by yourself. We thank you that you don't need no help and that because we are willing vessels, you choose to use us. So we take it as a privilege and an honor, hallelujah, that we have presented bodies back to you, holy and acceptable.
Yes,
hallelujah, that we may come to you with clean hands and a clean heart and allow you to wash us and cleanse us and purge us and make us new. We thank you that the former things are passed away and behold, all things have been made new in our life on today. We receive it and we believe it. Hallelujah. So thank you. Hallelujah. And we even thank you that you are doing a new thing in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us a new praise, a new worship. Hallelujah. A new walk, a new talk. Hallelujah. A new word, a new revelation. Hallelujah.
Thank
we thank you for giving us a new relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Help us to be in a place that we can let the old go and allow a new to take place, hallelujah, because you make all things new. You are the one that make all things new, so we surrender
hallelujah,
everything. Hallelujah. I thank you, hallelujah, that we have the honor of letting go of everything old that no longer belongs to us, all our old traumas,
praise
and letting down disappointments, and old relationships, and the reminders of them, hallelujah. We give it all to you, hallelujah, because you simply said, cast all of your cares on me because you care for us, hallelujah. I thank you that we may bear the infirmities of the weak, but we need to learn how to give it to you after we bear the infirmities because you didn't say
had to hold on to the way. We can give it to the master, the one that can hold all and got all power in his hand. So I thank you that there's nothing too heavy for you. Hallelujah. I thank you that there's nothing too heavy for you and there's nothing too hard for you. Hallelujah. And I thank you that you have accepted us as your children. Hallelujah. That we can give it all to you. Well, and that you can to remind us that we are not alone. Hallelujah. So grow us up in the spirit on today. Hallelujah. Grow us up in the spirit. Hallelujah. Grow us up in the spirit. Hallelujah. That we won't remain the same, that we will refuse to remain the same, because if we truly walk in you, there will be evidence, there will be growth. Hallelujah. That we will bear the fruit, hallelujah, that comes from you. So even if you choose long suffering, teach us how to grow through in this season without murmuring or complaining, hallelujah, knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love Yah and that are called according to his purpose. So it's not working against you, it's working for you. So help change our language in this season, hallelujah, that we won't use our mouth to speak deaf, and especially not over ourselves, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, that we're going to use our mouth to speak life, hallelujah. And when we can't say nothing good, hallelujah, we're gonna pray for the thoughts in our mind, because we know that seeing first stars in the mind. Help us, God. We ask that you remove our stinking thinking, anything that we have thought that don't line up with your will. Help us to rebuke it quickly, knowing that the enemy can place thoughts, but we don't have to feed into it. So I thank you even for our apostles that you gave us, hallelujah, even the first family, hallelujah, that you gave us to be a prime example, hallelujah, that we don't have to wonder how to be, that you use him in a divine way that we can see right in front of us, hallelujah. So I thank you for the fruit that you've given him, hallelujah.
Yes, God.
That is sown, and then the seed that was sown in the ground, and that it was sowed on good ground, hallelujah, that we can eat thereof. I thank you that this is a safe place that we can eat thereof, hallelujah, that we can be spiritually fed so that we can grow, hallelujah, and that the food that we eat is nurturing to our bodies, hallelujah, that it bring healing and that it bring deliverance and that it bring wholeness, hallelujah, because we desire to be made whole, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank you for filling every void, that you are the answer. Thank you for reminding us that you are the answer and that you are the antidote, that you are all that we need, and there is nothing missing in you, God. And we just want to tell you thank you for it. Thank you. 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 And if we had 10,000 times, we couldn't thank you enough. Hallelujah. So I thank you for each and every person that's on this line. I thank you for those who wanted to join and couldn't make it. Hallelujah. I thank you for the fire that you have restored back where the enemy have thought that he have stole. Hallelujah. I thank you for the joy that you have replaced that the enemy thought he had stole. I thank you for the sound mind that you have restored that the enemy thought he had stole. I thank you for equipping us in this season to call a thing, and that we may move forward according to your will and your purpose for our life. We say your will be done, not ours, not what we desire.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Help our life and our will and our purpose to line up with your word, hallelujah, so that our life will be glorifying to you, hallelujah, not for us, that not that we keep it for ourselves, hallelujah, that others will see our light, hallelujah, and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, hallelujah. We just want it to be all about you. It's not about us, it's all about you. It's not about us, it's all about you. And we thank we thank you for what you are doing in our life. Thank you for even working behind the scenes when we can't see you, when we can't feel you, hallelujah, because it's annoying. We get to from faith to knowing that you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever think or even imagine. I thank you that we have some here that knows, hallelujah, that you are able to do anything but fail, hallelujah, because we have tried for ourselves, hallelujah. So I thank you for we overcome by the words of our testimony. And I pray right now that you put a fire in my sisters and my brother's belly, hallelujah, that will burn up everything that's not like you, and that it will refine everything that it is, that it will come forth as pure gold in the mighty name of Yahshua, hallelujah. And for our brother that may be locked away or in a situation, I pray right now that you shield his mind right now. The blood, hallelujah, shield him with the blood, put a hedge of protection around him, continue to remind him who he is and who you called him to be. Let him not get weary in well doing, for he's gonna reap
if he faint not, hallelujah, hallelujah, because nothing is wasted in your hands, hallelujah, and you make no mistakes. And you say, where two or more are gathered in your name, you are also in the midst, hallelujah. So we touch and agree that your perfect will be done, hallelujah. Not what we desire, but that your perfect will be done, knowing that victory is in your will, hallelujah. So we thank you for victory that's on all of our lives, hallelujah. And if we haven't told you, thank you. Today, huh? We say thank you right now. If we haven't said
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Right now, hallelujah. We told you that you have already done enough, hallelujah. You really have already done enough. And we thank you that the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Mm. The best is yet to come. I decree and declare that the best is yet to come. And we thank you and we magnify you. And I decree and declare that the anointing flows from the head down. And it won't just stop at us. That our children, hallelujah, are saved. I speak that they are saved. They are sanctified. They are Holy Spirit filled. And they are satisfied. That they are satisfied with the things of Yah. Hallelujah. And the things that build his kingdom, and that they hate sin. Hallelujah. I pray right now that sin will begin to make them sick. Hallelujah. And that they will run from it. Hallelujah. That they will run from it. That they will run. That they will run. Hallelujah. Knowing that you are the source. Hallelujah. And that we will remember you as the first fruit. Hallelujah. We will remember you as our daily bread. Hallelujah. And without our spiritual food, we can't live. Hallelujah. Without our spiritual food, we cannot live. We will surely die. We will surely die. Hallelujah. We will surely die. Not just in the spirit, but in the natural. We will surely die. We will be like the walking dead if we don't eat your word daily. For the revelation on today. I thank you for the way that you broke this word down. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank you. I thank you for my sisters and brothers.
Thank you, Master.
For what you are doing in their life. And I thank you for what you are about to do. And I thank you, hallelujah, for every no that they use for it as they begin to speak up for themselves, say no, no longer, no, 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 hallelujah. And that we begin to say
hallelujah. Right.
I thank you, hallelujah. I thank you, Abba. We thank you. We magnify you, hallelujah. These things we ask you in Yahshua's mighty name, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And I say that it is so, hallelujah, that it is already done. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you for everything. Woo,
hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give God a hand clap. Praise somebody. Not where you at. Just tell them thank you. No matter who's looking at you, no matter if people around you, not, they don't even know why you're clapping, but you're clapping anyway. You got a big smile on your face. They know it's friendly. So praise the Lord. Glory to God. We've had a wonderful Bible study, everyone. We will see you next week and some of you on Sunday. I think there's some other things coming up. I think on the 15th? On the 26th, yes. New Covenant Church of Christ will be over at Second Baptist Church. The 25th, that's a Saturday. Our praise team has been called and commissioned to come and sing at Second Baptist Church and do worship there. So if you can make it and go and support them, please do. And then there is also this Saturday. This Saturday, there is the gala for the Schools for Haiti event. We already have a table there. That table will seat up 10 people, and we have room for up to about 15 people. So if you'd like to dress up and come out this Saturday at 5 o'clock, it'll be at the Marriott Hotel. Just say you're with New Covenant Church of Christ. They have a table, free dinner, live music, and come have fun.
Hallelujah.
Everybody got it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Apostle. Love you all. Yes,
Apostle.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. When can I get, when are you doing baptism? Like, when can I get baptized?
We need to get that done quickly. I think I'm going to have to set someone on that because we were doing baptisms over at the YMCA. We have the ability to, we need a couple of modifications at the building. We raised funds to put a baptismal pool in the building, but we now need to do some modifications so that the baptism pool can be put in. So I'll check on that. I'll talk to Miosha. And I'll talk to Sister Clay. But let's try to get you baptized in the next week or so.
Okay.
All right. All right, and remind me, send me a text in the morning, please. Send me a text in the morning. And let's get this done. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Good night.